This is a clip from one of our most recent episodes. For full episodes and more, please check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Stitcher, and YourVibesPodcast.com. This episode is brought to you by Mulberry Mill. Mulberry Mill is a 100,000 square foot warehouse located in the heart of downtown Dixon and is Dixon's only co-working space. Current tenants include 22 private offices, the Station Event Venue, and the Tennessee Artesian Market. Future developments include a 10,000 square foot event space, an office space expansion, and custom build-to-suite tenant spaces ranging from 100 square feet to 10,000 square feet. If you would like to join the Mulberry Mill family of small business owners, remote workers, artists, and entrepreneurs, please contact Andy Truman at info@mulberrymilldixon.com or shoot her a text at 336-693-4311.
When I met her in 2010, and we started dating.
Okay.
I come from a family with no money. They don't know the value of a dollar. They steal from people. They don't earn their money. So when I met my wife, she goes, I was still living at home. I was 24 years old. Coming from Long Island, it's not uncommon for you to live at home until you're 30. People get married and then move into their parents' basement with their wife and start their life there because you can't afford a house.
Wow.
So for me, at 24 years old, when we moved to Florida, I was still living with my parents in their home. And when I met Tennille, she's like, why are you still living at home? I was like, why not? Like, isn't that what you do? She goes, no, I left home at 18. So so she is the one that made me more into a man and said, this is what you have to do. You have to work hard, you know. And to be honest, like when I met her, I wasn't a hard worker. Like everything was handed to me. Lived most of my young adult life unemployed, you know. My parents just gave me money to go hang out with friends. I'll work jobs for a year or two, not take it seriously, you know. The only thing I've ever had, though, is somewhat of a work ethic. Like, since I was 14 was my first job. I'm 36 now. I've called out maybe a half dozen times since I was 16.
Yeah.
And even with the job that I was doing, 87 to 103 hours a week, I was there 5 years, and I called out once.
Wow.
And it was because I found out my mom got arrested, and I called out a day before. Like, I didn't call the morning of, you know. I was like, hey, listen, this is what's going on with my mom. I have some drama I have to deal with, and I don't know how to process that. So tomorrow I'm going to need all of her. So it's going to be a bad day for everybody. But she's taught me to be responsible. She's taught me. She's always been saying, hey, you need to figure out how to make money on your own, bet on yourself. Meanwhile, she's telling me this, but she never bet on herself. She's also a hard worker, very hard worker. She's had a constant job since she was 14, 15, you know. And it took until coming to Dixon to become serious. You know, I've tried other businesses. I've tried other companies. This is probably my sixth or seventh venture. This is the only one that ever made money, but this is also the only one that I'm actually passionate about.
Cool.
I get instant gratification when I unlock a car and I'm helping somebody or doing something that somebody else can't, you know what I mean?
You get that dopamine drip, man. I mean, and you're helping somebody. I mean, there's the saying, help as many people get what they want, and ultimately you'll get everything that you want, you know? And
yeah, that's very true.
It is. And, you know, you could eventually, and you probably will eventually, I mean, you've inspired me, but get to one of these points of being this, you know, motivational type thing. And you can say, here's where I started and I've grown this business, whatever it may be. But like, people, you can't just, not you that you're doing it, but it's not just a simple walk service. Like, people are in a fucking tight spot, man. Yeah. And like, you're absolutely right about the competition and about coming to Dixon. Is like, right now is the best time to jump off that cliff and do what you're passionate about, especially in this small town. Bigger towns, there's so much competition. Like, I left this agency. So my in-laws own it, and my wife works here. I left in 2018, quit, and went to a huge 125-employee firm, the biggest independent insurance agency in the Southeast.
Okay.
Went, just said, all right, I'm doing pretty well here. Let's just see what kind of man I am. I am a pussy. I'm telling you what, man. I was not. It was an experience that was necessary in the evolution of my professional life. It was absolutely necessary, and I'll never take it back. And I'm extremely grateful for it, because it kind of, once you know what you don't want, you know even more what you want.
Correct.
You know, I mean, it's for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction type thing. Great agency, great producers, great staff, great bosses. Like, those guys over there are legit. Very legitimately run insurance company. And so is this one as well, too. It's just on a smaller scale. But I was living in Dixon. All of my business was coming from Middle Tennessee to East Tennessee. You know, it was not out in this area, really. And as you well know, in order to build relationships to pick up, you know, decent size accounts, you can't just call somebody and say, hey, let me do this for you.
Of course.
You've got to put in the hours. You got to go get a drink. You got to take them to dinner. You got to go to the networking stuff. You've got to draw attention to yourself. And having two kids and married as well, too, it was just not one of those, you know, I can't go get drinks with this client or prospect right after work, because I got to get home and I got to take care of family stuff as well, too. And that's always been the most important thing to me, debatably. To me, it is. It sometimes I do get a little distracted and have to be roped back in by my lovely wife. But I worked there for almost a year to the day. And it got to the point to where I pretty much hit a real deep state of depression, because it was like, what am I doing with my life? Yeah. You know, I mean, like you were saying, you're going to the bathroom, you know, and putting water on your face. I was the same way. I was just like, man, you know, and you wake up and the sheets feel like lead. You're just like, oh, God bless America. Like, what am I doing? You know, I've got all these phone calls to make today, and I've got so many people telling me no, which I'm so used to, but it was just like I didn't feel any hope after the day. There was no hope. Like, okay, you know, there's no traction. There's nothing. Just, you know, and it's obviously ultimately falls on my shoulders. I'm not putting blame on anybody. There's no outside circumstances that, you know, that I'm blaming anything on at all, because it was my choice to go, and it was also my choice to leave. But coming to a small town, to try to start and grow your business while the dollars may not be, you know, significantly high at the moment, at least you can build a foundation. You know, you can mess up a time or two and it's okay, and you just keep coming around and you keep showing your face, and you just continue to build that business. And then once you kind of get in with the business owners here, you quickly find out that nobody really knows what the fuck they're doing.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, and even you just keep faking it, really. And I was reading something the other day too that was the imposter syndrome, and I took a liking to that, because they were saying that there's gonna be several points in your development as a business owner or as an entrepreneur or somebody that's trying to make a change in their life where you don't feel like yourself. You know, you're doing these things that you haven't always done, and things are happening to you that haven't always happened. And you get into this state of mind of like, is this even real? You know, is this what kind of reality am I living in at this point in time? And, you know, and it's at that point where, you know, you either accept it, that life, you know, is happening for you all the time, or you're like, oh shit, this is more than I've ever had to deal with, and you kind of close off a little bit, and things maybe, you know, there's an ebb and a flow to the whole thing. But the great thing about this county is if you show up and you're a good person and you want to help everybody, and it's not all about the money. Like, that's a big thing that was a big shift for me, is like, you know, you can do these affirmations and you can wake up and you can think all these positive things and you can, you know, get your vibe about yourself. But if you solely base everything off of the money, you're never going to be A, happy, or B, reach your fullest potential at all. I do more stuff for free around here than I do for money for the most part, or have, until things kind of started taking traction. And I'll still continue to do that. I'll give, you know, like, I've got this job and it pays the bills and it does well. And this is kind of a side thing as well. So I'm not, you know, I bumped into somebody at bingo the other day, last Sunday. I had mentioned I DJed a party till 1 o'clock in the morning the night before. And I said, I'm sorry if I sound and look like a train wreck. But after that, there was a bride and her mother sitting there, and we're like, hey, we heard you DJed. And so I picked up a job right there at Pumphrey's, you know? I mean, it's just one of those things. The universe always is boding in your favor, whether you think it or not. You know, it was a huge mindset change to get out of that state of depression that I was in. It was like, all right, you know, instead of saying I have to do this stuff today, you shift it to I get to do this stuff today, no matter how shitty it is. Mm-hmm. And then if something happens, you know, instead of saying it happened to me, you say it happened for me. And then it just changes your whole mindset about things and just really shines that light on, you know, something that could really be perceived as a real shitty situation.
Yeah. I mean, everything you just said, I mean, a few points there relate to me as well. Like, for one, way before, you said that things are tight for people here, money-wise, you know. One of the biggest things I wanted to do is be affordable, you know. Mm-hmm. I call it Nashville money, but I told my wife, people here don't have Nashville money. And I don't mean that to be insulting, because there's plenty of people here that have that money.
Right.
But I wanted to be fair. I also like to say, hey, if you can find somebody that can beat my price, I'll beat them as well. You know, like, I'm not going to let anybody outbeat me, especially being a new guy. It's important that I get all that business, that people know I'm affordable. That's why I do so many things for free. You know what I mean? And biggest thing I love about my job is everything's a new challenge. It's not the same every day. Every lock that I pick is different. Sometimes I go out to a job and I tell you that I'm going to do it, or I'm going to try my best to do it. And if I don't do it, I don't charge you. Even if I was there 2 hours, any other locksmith, it's $70 right off the bat. Just show up.
Well,
I'll sit there and I'll struggle and struggle and struggle and curse under my breath and tell myself that I'm such a failure. But I like to fail. If I don't fail, I'm never going to get better. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to every job and be a cake and I walk off. You know, like, it is nice to make that money quick. But if I don't challenge myself, I never get better. You know what I mean? And I tell my wife, like, sometimes I come home with an attitude. She's like, what's going on? I said, well, that key make didn't go the way I wanted to, or picking that lock didn't go the way I wanted to. And she's like, it's okay. It's going to be fine tomorrow. I was like, shush, just leave me alone. I go to the room. I sit there. I process. Mm-hmm. Think, what did I do wrong? What could have I done? And a lot of times, like, I psych myself out because a customer's staring at you over your shoulder, looking at you picking a lock. Mm-hmm. And then there's simple fundamentals that I didn't even do that I should have done. And I'm like, instead of turning this way on the lock when I was picking it, I should have turned the opposite way. And that was a case with a job out in Burns I went to. This guy was sitting out in the summer for about 50 minutes. When I got there, he's dripping with sweat. I give him a cup of water because I carry bottled waters with me. And I'm picking his lock and I start panicking, because normally a lock takes me 30 seconds to unlock. It's a deadbolt on this house. I can't do it. So I'm like, crap. I was like, do you have any other doors on the house? He's like, yeah, let's go to the back door. I go to the back door. It's a different kind of lock that I know that I can't pick and I have to drill it. So I start drilling it. I'm drilling it. My bits start snapping the door.
No.
He's like, oh, don't worry. I have a whatever shop. And he brings me all his bits. I'm using his bits. They're breaking. And this is about 30, 40 minutes I'm on scene. And I'm sweating, I'm drenched, I'm fat, I look exhausted, you know. And I said, all right, let's try this front door again. Let me try to pick it. And when I'm sitting there on my knees, I'm exhausted, I'm dripping. He's watching all the drips fall off my nose, my chin, everything. He's like, you need a towel or something? I'm like, no, I just need to focus. I'm sorry, can you step back? And it hits me. I never tried to pick it the other way. So I put pressure the other way, the opposite way that it should go. And sure enough, there within 5 seconds, it slips open. It doesn't unlock the door, but I have a tool that once you pick it the wrong way, it flips it so quick that the pins don't get to drop, and then I can reverse it.
Okay.
And I said, that's a rookie move. I should have known that right off the bat. Like, if it doesn't turn one way, turn it the other.
Absolutely.
But it's stuff like that. Like, I like to be challenged. I like to make the mistakes, and then I'm like, okay, I know next time. I have to sit there, breathe. Sometimes you have to just let go of the lock, walk away for 5 minutes, come back with a fresh set of eyes, and there it is.
Thanks again to Mulberry Mill for sponsoring this episode. If you are looking for an office or a creative space, or are someone looking for a beautiful and local event venue, please contact Andy Truman at info@mulberrymilldixon.com or shoot her a text at 336-693-4311. If you're interested in sponsoring an episode, please reach out to me directly via email at yourvibespodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and always remember, stay vibey, my friends.